Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, discerning true spiritual fellowship from legalism. 1 John was written to counter heretical views, so the epistle provides discernment and thus is filled with contrast, light and darkness, love of the world and love of God, children of God and children of the devil, spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. So we view the epistle for much-needed spiritual discernment today and study 1 John 5, 1 through 5 on discerning true spiritual fellowship from legalism for our insight, our application, and edification. Now I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, literally. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, John claimed that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the word Christ in the King James actually is the Messiah, has been permanently begotten. It's a third person singular perfect passive indicative of genao. The verb is gegenetai. Has permanently been begotten, that implies eternal security, of God, and everyone who loves God who begot, thus being in fellowship with the Lord, according to 1 John 4:20, if you're loving God, you're in fellowship with him, loves him who has been permanently begotten, that's the accusative singular masculine perfect passive participle of genao, it's gegenemenon, so that also implies eternal security. It has been permanently begotten and has been permanently begotten in both cases. So it's amazing how the tenses in the Greek language really imply eternal security. This is an arresting statement by John, for it means that one who truly fellowships with the Lord loves every true believer in Christ, even if a believer is out of fellowship with God and is living a life of sin. It's interesting. You may not fellowship with someone who's out of fellowship with the Lord, but you'll truly have a love for a Christian even if he's out of fellowship, even if he's living in sin. Actually, this is the true love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's what the King James Version says. The Greek word is baruch. And the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament indicates that this means they are not legalistically oppressive, demanding extraordinary achievement, as if one were under the yoke of the Mosaic Law. In fact, the TDNT implies that that's what John's thinking of here. They're not burdensome. He's talking about being burdensome under the guise of the Mosaic Law. So John implies that a believer who is not functioning in true fellowship with God, who may even claim that he loves God, but he does not love his brother who is a believer, but who lives in sin, views keeping the commandments of God, that includes loving ungodly believers, as grievous or burdensome. In other words, if a person is legalistic, he's going to think that it's burdensome to love a believer who is carnal. He thus functions in his walk as a legalist, one who relies on self-effort to produce a false godliness and does not trust God for power and living. The difference between a legalistic Christian and a godly Christian is that the legalistic Christian might be jumping through the same hoops, might be doing the same things, but he's doing it in his own strength. He's doing it under self-discipline, where a spiritual believer is relying on the power of the Spirit of God, and the Lord is equipping him to live the godly life. This is a big issue, incidentally. There's a tremendous amount of legalism in evangelical circles today. So John added the claim that everyone who has been permanently begotten, there's gegenemenon again, that's an implying eternal security of God, is currently overcoming. Now that's a third person present indicative. Everyone who has permanently been begotten is currently overcoming the world. And this is the victory that has overcome, that's an aorist singular participle, the world, even our faith. In other words, a believer is a world conqueror by means of his faith in Jesus Christ. This suggests that such faith is the secret to his continuing victory, and for that reason, obedience to God's commands need not be burdensome, since he lives a life of faith in God. The secret of getting away from seeing that the commands that God gives us as Christians are burdensome is to rely on God to obey the commands. If we rely on God, they're not hard. If we're not relying on the God, and we're out of fellowship with him, it's trying, you know, you're trying to make and conform an old sin nature to live a life that is full of love, joy, peace, gentleness, peace. It's impossible. That's one of the difficulties. That's why there are some believers that find the Christian life is absolutely impossible to live. It is impossible if you're trying to do it in your own strength. In fact, the only one who can live a Christian life is God, and that's why we have to rely upon God for that. John then asserted a rhetorical question. Who is he who overcomes, that's a present participle, nikon, the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So as a believer lives a life of faith in God, he overcomes the world as God equips him to love all true believers, be they in fellowship with the Lord or be they unspiritual. That is a great victory over legalism. So the secret victory over legalism is to rely on the Holy Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit. So the lesson is, when a believer truly fellowships with God, he loves the Lord and obeys his command to love everyone who has believed in Christ as Messiah and Son of God, be that other believer godly or be he out of fellowship with God and living in sin. The means by which a believer can love even ungodly believers in victory over legalism is by a life of faith in God that grows out of his initial faith in Christ for salvation. One whereby he relies on the Holy Spirit in his walk for the power to love as God loves and overcoming the world. Galatians 2:20, I love that verse. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the body, I live by faith on the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's the secret. So in application, if we fellowship with the Lord, we will love not only godly believers, but also ungodly believers who are out of fellowship with God. So if we do not love ungodly believers, may we confess our carnality of legalism and rely on the Holy Spirit for his power to love as the Lord loves even ungodly believers. Now, we must realize that though we are to love even ungodly believers, if we fellowship with God, we still cannot fellowship with the ungodly, for we have no fellowship with those who walk in darkness. That's 1 John 1, 5-7. This incidentally shows us why, if there's a believer in Christ, and let's say he commits immorality or idolatry, there are a couple of sins there according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and he refuses to repent, we have to excommunicate him from the church. Now, that doesn't mean we stop loving him. No, we're excommunicating him as discipline in order to drive a wedge between him and his sin. And the goal of discipline is incomplete until that believer confesses the sin, comes back, and is reunited with the body. So our love doesn't stop for a believer even if we exercise discipline on him. In fact, if anything, our love should intensify, and we need to pray for that believer. But we can't fellowship with someone who's out of... So that you have to be keep, that's a, quite a tension there. We have to love the person, but we can't fellowship with them because they're walking in darkness. However, our love should always address the need to sustain the life of even ungodly believers with whom we cannot fellowship. 1 John 3:16 through 18. Four, if we note a fellow believer is legalistic, that he is in a state of false spirituality, may we realize that he's ungodly and still love him, seeking to sustain his life while realizing that we have no fellowship with him. That may be a tougher order, but that's something that God wants us to do. He wants us to love all true believers, whether they're living lives of gross sin, whether they're living lives that are legalistic, which is also sin. But he wants us, and godly believers as well. It's very easy to fellowship with godly believers, but God wants us to love all believers. In fact, the Bible says, love all men. Owe no man anything but to love all men. That's even unsaved people, because they are desperate need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here John applies it to believers, which is fascinating. So that's the key. That's the victory over legalism is a life in dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God.